Imagine a scenario where the folly of rulers combines with high taxes and the ruthless exploitation of a people. Sound familiar? This dangerous scenario is not exclusive to modern times, but also profoundly marked the political and spiritual history of God's chosen people in biblical times. Visualize a unified country formed by 12 tribes, all descendants of a common patriarch. This nation, which had experienced days of glory and prosperity, now faced a division that would change its history forever. For many Bible readers, understanding the history of Israel can be challenging. They start by following the narratives of great heroes, judges, prophets, and emblematic kings like Saul, David, and Solomon. Suddenly, they find themselves with two separate kingdoms, two biblical kings reigning simultaneously, and even a kind of civil war where Israelites and Jews face each other in a highly hostile environment. At times, Jews and Israelites are seen as enemies. This confusion is common for those who do not know the history of the divided kingdom of Israel. If you are among these people, know that the divided kingdom in the Bible refers to the period when the Israelite nation split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, known as Israel, and the southern kingdom, called Judah. In this video, you will learn about the fascinating history of the divided kingdom and understand the complex reasons behind this division among the people of Israel. Get ready for a journey that will illuminate one of the most tumultuous and decisive eras in biblical history. The United Kingdom of Israel began under the leadership of Saul, the first king anointed by the prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 10:1. Saul, chosen by God in response to the people's cry for a monarch, initially demonstrated promising leadership. However, his disobedience to divine commandments and his impulsive decisions led to his rejection by God. The anointing of David, a young shepherd from Bethlehem, marked the beginning of a new chapter. David not only won the people's trust with his bravery against Goliath, but also stood out for his devotion to God. His reign was characterized by great military victories, the expansion of Israel's territory, and the consolidation of Jerusalem as the political and spiritual capital. David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, reinforcing the city as the center of worship to God. After David's death, his son Solomon ascended to the throne, 1 Kings 2:12. Solomon is remembered for his unparalleled wisdom, a divine gift requested by him in a dream. His ability to judge with justice and wisdom became legendary, as exemplified in the case of the two women disputing the maternity of a baby. Solomon is also known for the Temple of Jerusalem, a magnificent building dedicated to the worship of God, which became the religious center of Israel. However, his reign was not without problems. Solomon's political alliances, often sealed by marriages to foreign princesses, introduced idolatrous practices into the kingdom. The heavy tributes and conscription of workers for his grand construction projects generated dissatisfaction among the northern tribes. These factors, combined with spiritual departure, planted the seeds of future division. Solomon reigned for 40 years, and at the end of his life, the kingdom that had known peace and prosperity was on the brink of internal conflict. 1 Kings 11:42-43. Economic and social pressures, exacerbated by the introduction of foreign cults and the centralization of power in Jerusalem, set the stage for division. Solomon's death was followed by the ascension of his son Rehoboam, whose inflexibility in the face of popular demands precipitated the rebellion led by Jeroboam. Thus, the era of the United Kingdom of Israel came to a tumultuous end, giving way to a period of division and conflict. The division of the Kingdom of Israel has deep roots in the mistakes made during Solomon's reign. Although his government was marked by wisdom and greatness, Solomon committed grave transgressions by departing from divine precepts. He married many foreign women, including Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, who introduced the worship of pagan gods like Ashtoreth and Milcom. This idolatry was severely condemned by the prophets and was seen as a betrayal of the covenant with God. Additionally, the heavy tributes and forced labor imposed on the northern tribes to support Solomon's construction projects, such as the temple and his palace, increased the people's dissatisfaction. 1 Kings 11:13, 14. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam ascended to the throne. 1 Kings 12:1. Representatives of the northern tribes, led by Jeroboam, approached Rehoboam in Shechem, asking for relief from the heavy burdens imposed by his father. Rehoboam consulted the elders who had advised Solomon, who suggested moderation. However, he also consulted the young men he had grown up with, who advised a harsher response. Choosing to follow the advice of the young men, Rehoboam responded harshly, stating he would increase the people's burdens even more. This decision precipitated the revolt of the northern tribes, led by Jeroboam, who had been warned by the prophet Ahijah that he would reign over 10 of Israel's tribes. Jeroboam, who had previously served as an official in Solomon's government, seized the opportunity to lead the revolt. The northern tribes rejected Rehoboam and the house of David, proclaiming Jeroboam as their king. This event marked the division of the kingdom into two separate entities, the northern kingdom Israel, composed of 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom Judah, composed of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. 1 Kings 12:19, 20. Jerusalem remained the capital of Judah, while Jeroboam established his government in Shechem and later in Penuel. The division was more than political, it was also spiritual, with the north drifting away from the rituals and centralization of worship in Jerusalem. Jeroboam feared that if the people of the northern kingdom continued to travel to Jerusalem to worship, his power would be threatened. 1 Kings 12:27. To consolidate his kingdom, he introduced the golden calves in Bethel and Dan, leading Israel into idolatry. This action not only further distanced the northern tribes from Judah, but also brought divine judgment. Prophets like Ahijah warned Jeroboam about the consequences of his actions, but he persisted in his ways. Thus, Solomon's mistakes and Rehoboam's intransigence culminated in the kingdom's division, establishing a pattern of idolatry and disobedience that would mark the history of the northern kingdom. After the division, Jeroboam faced the challenge of consolidating his power in the northern kingdom. To prevent his people from traveling to Jerusalem to worship, he established alternative worship centers in Bethel and Dan, where he erected golden calves. 1 Kings 12:28, 29. This action was an attempt to strengthen the religious and political identity of the new kingdom, but resulted in great sin and idolatry. Prophets like Ahijah condemned this practice, warning that it would bring God's wrath upon Israel. Despite these warnings, Jeroboam continued on his idolatrous path, leading the kingdom further away from God. Jeroboam's reign was marked by constant conflicts with the southern kingdom and internal instability. Idolatry and disobedience to God created an environment of corruption and violence. Jeroboam's successors followed in his footsteps, perpetuating idolatry and injustice. This included kings like Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, and Ahab, whose reigns were characterized by violence and departure from divine precepts. The situation in the northern kingdom became increasingly chaotic, culminating in the rise of Ahab, whose union with Jezebel and promotion of Baal worship represented one of the darkest periods in Israel's history. The continuous disobedience and idolatry in the northern kingdom prompted the intervention of prophets like Elijah and Elisha, who performed miracles and confronted the kings and the people, calling them to repentance. However, despite moments of revival and repentance, the trajectory of the northern kingdom was marked by spiritual and moral decline. This decline paved the way for divine judgment, which later manifested in the conquest and destruction of Israel by the Assyrians. 2 Kings 17, 5-6. With the kingdom's division, Rehoboam ruled Judah, the southern kingdom, consisting mainly of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Rehoboam initially attempted to reconquer the northern kingdom, but was dissuaded by the prophet Shemaiah, who said that the division was God's doing. During his reign, Judah faced challenges both internally and externally. Internally, Rehoboam had to deal with the people's dissatisfaction, exacerbated by the tax and labor policies inherited from his father, Solomon. Additionally, idolatry infiltrated Judah, with high places, pillars, and Asherah poles being erected. Externally, Judah faced threats from neighboring nations. In the fifth year of Rehoboam's reign, Pharaoh Shishak of Egypt attacked Jerusalem, taking the treasures of the temple and the royal palace. 1 Kings 14:25-26. This plunder significantly weakened Judah, both economically and morally. Despite these challenges, Rehoboam managed to maintain relative stability in Judah until his death. He reigned for 17 years and was succeeded by his son. Abijah, though he reigned for a short period of 3 years, is remembered for his military confrontation with Jeroboam, where, according to the biblical narrative, he appealed to the faithfulness to the God of Israel as the reason for his victory. However, idolatry continued to be a problem in Judah. Abijah was succeeded by his son Asa, who attempted to bring religious reforms and eliminate idolatry from the kingdom. Asa reigned for 41 years, bringing a period of peace and prosperity to Judah. During Asa's reign, the relationship with the northern kingdom varied between hostility and alliance. Asa faced Baasha, king of Israel, who fortified Ramah to control access to Jerusalem. In response, Asa made an alliance with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to attack Israel, forcing Baasha to abandon Ramah. Asa is often remembered as a king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, despite not completely removing the high places. His dedication to God and his religious reforms established a positive standard for the future kings of Judah. The northern kingdom, under Jeroboam and his successors, was marked by continued idolatry and political instability. After Jeroboam, his son Nadab took the throne, but his reign was brief, lasting only 2 years before being assassinated by Baasha, who became the next king. Baasha also followed Jeroboam's idolatrous ways, and his dynasty was marked by violence and conspiracies. Baasha reigned for 24 years, but his line was eliminated when his son Elah was assassinated by Zimri, one of his officers, 1 Kings 16:8-10. Zimri, however, reigned for only 7 days before committing suicide when he was besieged by Omri, another military officer who took the throne. Omri is known for founding the city of Samaria, which became the capital of the northern kingdom. Although Omri was a strong king, he continued Jeroboam's idolatry, leading Israel to sin even more against God. Omri was succeeded by his son Ahab, whose reign is one of the most infamous in Israel's history due to his union with Jezebel, a Sidonian princess, and the introduction of Baal worship in Israel. Ahab built a temple for Baal in Samaria, and his wife Jezebel persecuted the Lord's prophets, attempting to eradicate the worship of Yahweh. This dark period was marked by conflicts between God's prophets, like Elijah, and the idolatrous monarchy. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, demonstrating God's supremacy. However, Ahab and Jezebel continued in their idolatrous ways, leading Israel into a period of great apostasy and violence. Ahab's reign was also marked by wars with Syria. In various battles, Ahab tried to regain lost territories, and God, through the prophets, sometimes granted victories to Israel to demonstrate his power. However, Ahab was eventually killed in a battle at Ramoth-Gilead. His death marked the end of an era of great idolatry and violence, but the problems of the northern kingdom were far from over. Instability continued with Ahab's successors, and idolatry remained entrenched in Israelite society, setting the stage for divine judgment. In the context of idolatry and injustice in the northern kingdom, God raised powerful prophets to call the people and kings to repentance. Elijah is perhaps the most famous of these prophets. He confronted Ahab and Jezebel, challenging the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, where God responded with fire from heaven, demonstrating his supremacy over the false gods. 1 Kings 18:20-39. Elijah also prophesied a drought over Israel as divine judgment, which lasted 3.5 years. After the victory on Mount Carmel, Elijah had to flee from Jezebel, who sought his life. During this time, Elijah had a significant encounter with God on Mount Horeb, where God revealed himself not in wind, earthquake, or fire, but in a gentle whisper. God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha as his successor, ensuring the continuity of the prophetic work in Israel. Elisha, Elijah's successor, continued to perform miracles and confront idolatry in Israel. He purified the water of Jericho, multiplied the widow's oil, resurrected the Shunammite's son, and healed Naaman, the Syrian commander, of leprosy. Elisha also played a crucial role in confronting the kings of Israel, exhorting them to repentance and faithfulness to God. Despite the efforts of Elijah and Elisha, idolatry and injustice continued to proliferate in the northern kingdom. In his mercy, God continued to send prophets like Amos and Hosea to warn Israel of the impending judgment. Amos, a shepherd from Tekoa, denounced social oppression and religious corruption, calling the people to repentance. Amos 5:21-24. Hosea, on the other hand, used his own marital life as a metaphor for God's relationship with Israel, highlighting the people's unfaithfulness and God's constant love. These prophets not only announced judgment, but also offered hope for restoration. They foresaw a time when God would bring a remnant of Israel back to faithfulness and bless his people once again. However, Israel's persistent refusal to abandon idolatry and injustice led to divine intervention through the Assyrian conquest, resulting in the destruction of Samaria and the exile of the 10 northern tribes. After Ahab's death, the northern kingdom continued to be ruled by his descendants, starting with his son Ahaziah and then Joram. However, God raised Jehu to eradicate Ahab's house and purify Israel from idolatry. Jehu, a military commander, was anointed by one of the sons of the prophets under Elisha's orders to become king of Israel. Jehu quickly took drastic measures against Ahab's house. He killed Joram, Ahab's son, and Jezebel, fulfilling Elijah's prophecy against her. Jehu didn't stop there. He exterminated all of Ahab's descendants, eliminating any possibility of the dynasty's return to power. Additionally, Jehu gathered all the worshippers of Baal for a great sacrifice, only to exterminate them all at once, destroying Baal's temple and turning it into latrines. Although Jehu was zealous in eliminating Baal worship, he did not turn away from Jeroboam's sins, maintaining the golden calves at Bethel and Dan. Jehu reigned for 28 years and is remembered as a king who, though he made great reforms, failed to bring complete spiritual renewal to Israel. His zeal in purging Baal idolatry contrasted with his inaction against other idols. This period brought a measure of stability to the northern kingdom, but persistent idolatry continued to weaken the nation. Jehu's reign was followed by his sons Jehoahaz and Joash, who faced constant conflicts with Syria and failed to free Israel from its oppression. Jehu also faced significant challenges both from within and outside the kingdom. The Syrians, under King Hazael, repeatedly invaded Israel, resulting in significant territorial losses and continued oppression. Constant war drained the resources and morale of the northern kingdom. Jehoahaz, Jehu's son, followed in his father's footsteps, but failed to rid Israel of idolatry, and as a result, Syrian domination continued during his reign. After Jehoahaz's death, his son Joash took the throne. Joash had a brief period of success against the Syrians, recovering some lost cities, but idolatry still prevailed in Israel. During his reign, Elisha, the prophet who succeeded Elijah, was in his last days. Elisha prophesied 3 victories over Syria for Joash, which came to pass, demonstrating once again God's faithfulness amidst Israel's unfaithfulness. Jehu, Jehoahaz, and Joash represented a continuous, albeit incomplete, effort to turn Israel away from idolatry and back to the worship of Yahweh. However, Jeroboam's legacy and the idolatry he instituted continued to haunt the northern kingdom. The mix of superficial devotion and persistent pagan practices prevented true spiritual renewal. The failure to completely turn away from idolatry left Israel vulnerable to foreign influences and divine judgments, paving the way for instability and the eventual fall of the kingdom. Jeroboam II, Joash's son, brought a period of prosperity to the northern kingdom, known as the Golden Decade. His reign, which lasted 41 years, saw the restoration of Israel's borders from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, as prophesied by Jonah, 2 Kings 14:25. Jeroboam II managed to recover lost territories and expand the kingdom, bringing an era of relative peace and economic prosperity. This period is often seen as a temporary revival of Israel's power, comparable to the days of David and Solomon. However, the material prosperity under Jeroboam II contrasted with the spiritual and moral decay of the kingdom. Social injustice, the oppression of the poor, and idolatry continued to proliferate. Prophets like Amos and Hosea rose during this period to denounce corruption and call the people to repentance. Amos, in particular, criticized the superficiality of worship and the hypocrisy of the rich who oppressed the poor. He spoke against the excesses of the elite and the lack of justice in society, condemning those who lived in luxury while the poor suffered. Hosea, on the other hand, depicted Israel as an unfaithful wife who strayed from God to follow other gods. The message of the prophets during the reign of Jeroboam II was clear. Without true justice and faithfulness to God, material prosperity was empty and temporary. They warned of impending judgment if the people did not repent and turn back to God. Unfortunately, their warnings were largely ignored, and idolatry and injustice continued to grow. After the death of Jeroboam II, Israel quickly fell into disorder, leading to a series of weak kings and a period of great political instability. Jeroboam II also had to deal with external pressures from neighboring nations, although he managed to maintain a measure of independence and military power. He strengthened Israel's defenses and sought strategic alliances to maintain the kingdom's security. However, peace and prosperity could not mask the deep internal problems. The lack of true religious and social reform left Israel vulnerable to divine judgment, which the prophets continued to proclaim. Furthermore, the reign of Jeroboam II was characterized by a centralization of power and a priestly class that often supported idolatrous practices, exacerbating the spiritual division in the kingdom. Tensions between the worship of Yahweh and the worship of idols continued to divide the people, undermining the social and religious cohesion essential for the kingdom's long-term survival. This golden period was, in fact, an era of missed opportunities where external prosperity masked internal decay. Prophets Amos and Hosea also warned that the prosperity under Jeroboam II was only temporary and that God's judgment was approaching. Amos prophesied that the day of the Lord would be a day of darkness, not light, for Israel due to its injustice and idolatry. Amos 5:18-20. Hosea spoke of God's unfailing love, but also warned that Israel's unfaithfulness would bring destruction. The people's refusal to repent and return to God sealed their fate, setting the stage for the impending fall of the northern kingdom. After the death of Jeroboam II, the northern kingdom entered a rapid decline. Several kings ascended to the throne in quick succession, many through conspiracies and assassinations. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam II, was assassinated by Shallum after only 6 months of reign. Shallum, in turn, was assassinated by Menahem after only 1 month on the throne, 2 Kings 15:13-14. Menahem ruled for 10 years and was known for his brutality, including the massacre of Tifsa. He managed to keep the throne by paying tribute to Assyria, a practice continued by his successors. The rapid and violent succession of kings contributed to the kingdom's instability and weakness. Pekahiah, son of Menahem, was assassinated by Pekah, one of his captains. Pekah, in turn, reigned for 20 years and allied with Syria against Judah, but was assassinated by Hoshea, the last king of Israel. During this period of chaos, Assyrian influence grew, with the kings of Israel increasingly becoming vassals of Tiglath-Pileser III. Hoshea attempted one last resistance against Assyrian domination, but was defeated and imprisoned. In 722 BC, Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, was conquered by the Assyrians, and the people of Israel were taken into captivity to Assyria. This event marked the end of the northern kingdom and the fulfillment of prophetic warnings about divine judgment. The fall of Israel served as a grim example of what happens when a nation strays from the ways of God. In addition to political instability, spiritual and moral decline also contributed to Israel's fall. Continued idolatry, social injustice, and corruption made the kingdom vulnerable to divine judgment. Prophets like Amos and Hosea continued to warn the people, but their messages were largely ignored. Amos declared, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land, bring down your defense, and your stronghold shall be plundered." Amos 3:11. Hosea urged Israel to return to God, but lamented, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. The Assyrian conquest was brutal. The Assyrians were known for their cruelty and terror tactics. They destroyed cities, deported much of the population, and resettled other peoples in Israel, resulting in a cultural mix that diluted the Israelite identity. The systematic deportation of the Israelite population to various parts of the Assyrian Empire was a strategy to prevent rebellions and weaken any organized resistance. This exile also had a lasting impact on the identity of the people of Israel, with the northern 10 tribes becoming known as the Lost Tribes. The end of the northern kingdom is a lesson about the importance of faithfulness to God and social justice. Despite the continuous warnings of the prophets, Israel chose to follow the path of idolatry and injustice, resulting in its destruction. The fall of Samaria and the Assyrian exile mark a turning point in biblical history, serving as a solemn warning to all nations about the consequences of turning away from God. After the fall of Samaria, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom were dispersed by the Assyrians to various parts of the empire, a process known as the Assyrian exile. This forced displacement was a common strategy used by the Assyrians to prevent rebellions, spreading the conquered populations and destroying their cultural and social cohesion. The tribes of Israel were taken to places like Hala, Habor, the river Gozan, and the cities of the Medes, as recorded in 2 Kings 17:6. The dispersion of the 10 tribes resulted in the loss of national and religious identity for many Israelites. While some maintained their faith and traditions, most ended up assimilating into local cultures, and the northern tribes became known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. This event also led to significant changes in the population and culture of Samaria. The Assyrians repopulated the region with people from various parts of their empire, creating a mixed population that came to be known as the Samaritans. The Samaritans adopted a syncretic form of worship that blended the worship of the Lord with the religious practices of the foreign peoples brought by the Assyrians. This syncretism led to enduring tensions and hostilities between the Jews and the Samaritans, which continued into New Testament times. The dispersion of the 10 tribes and the transformation of Samaria serve as a reminder of divine judgment on idolatry and unfaithfulness, but also of the complex history and identity of the people of Israel. The Samaritans, despite having a common origin with the Jews, developed a distinct religious and cultural identity. They accepted only the Pentateuch as scripture and built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. further exacerbating animosity with the Jews who worshipped in Jerusalem. This religious and cultural division is reflected in several episodes in the New Testament, such as Jesus's encounter with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well and the parable of the Good Samaritan. The dispersion of the northern tribes also had profound theological implications. The prophets continued to speak of a future in which God would gather the dispersed tribes and restore Israel. Ezekiel, for example, had a vision of dry bones, symbolizing Israel's restoration. Ezekiel 37:1-14. Isaiah spoke of a time when God would raise a banner for the nations and gather the dispersed of Israel. These promises of restoration were often understood as messianic hope, which would be fulfilled in the New Testament era with the coming of Jesus Christ. The story of the lost 10 tribes also generated much speculation and legend over the centuries. In various cultures and times, there have been claims of descent from the lost tribes, reflecting the enduring impact of this historical event. Some modern religious movements, such as British Israelites and some groups within Judaism, also claim a connection with these tribes. The fall of Samaria and the exile of the 10 northern tribes are powerful reminders of the consequences of turning away from God and disobedience. They demonstrate how spiritual infidelity can lead to loss of identity and destruction. However, there is also a message of hope in God's promise of restoration and redemption for those who turn back to Him. The story of the Samaritans and the lost tribes continues to resonate in the biblical narrative and the Judeo-Christian faith, pointing to God's faithfulness and grace amid human unfaithfulness. While the northern kingdom faced instability and eventual destruction, the southern kingdom, Judah, experienced periods of reform and resilience under godly kings like Asa and Jehoshaphat. Asa, who reigned for 41 years, is remembered for his efforts to purge Judah of idolatry and restore worship to the Lord, 1 Kings 15:11-14. He removed idolatrous altars, destroyed Asherah poles, and even deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother due to her idolatry. Asa also strengthened Judah's defenses by building fortified cities and maintaining a well-trained army. Asa's trust in God was demonstrated in his victory over Zerah the Ethiopian, who invaded Judah with a large army. Asa cried out to the Lord, and God granted a decisive victory over the invaders. Despite these successes, Asa made a mistake by forming an alliance with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to defend against Baasha, king of Israel, instead of fully trusting in God. For this lack of faith, Asa was rebuked by the prophet Hanani and faced subsequent conflicts. Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, continued religious reforms and sought to follow his father's ways. He reigned for 25 years and is known for his devotion to God and his efforts to promote justice and piety in Judah. Jehoshaphat sent Levites and priests throughout Judah to teach the law of the Lord to the people, strengthening the kingdom's spiritual foundation. He also formed alliances with Ahab, king of Israel, by marrying his son Jehoram to Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, which brought mixed consequences for Judah, 2 Chronicles 18:1. One of Jehoshaphat's most notable stories was his response to an invasion by a coalition of nations, including Moab and Ammon. Instead of relying on his own forces, Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast throughout the kingdom and sought God's help in prayer. God responded through the prophet Jahaziel, assuring Jehoshaphat that the battle belonged to the Lord. In the ensuing battle, the invading armies were confused and destroyed each other, and Judah reaped the spoils without having to fight. Despite the reforms and religious fervor, Jehoshaphat also made mistakes, such as his alliances with Ahab and later Ahaziah, king of Israel, which proved disastrous. These alliances brought idolatry and negative influence to Judah, undermining the efforts of spiritual reform. Nonetheless, Jehoshaphat is primarily remembered for his faithfulness and constant seeking of God's guidance. Asa and Jehoshaphat represented a period of spiritual revival and political strengthening in Judah. Their religious reforms helped establish a more solid foundation for worshipping Yahweh, contrasting with the decadence in the Northern Kingdom. The story of their reigns shows that, though imperfect, leaders who seek God and promote justice can bring blessings and stability to their people. After Jehoshaphat's death, his son Jehoram ascended the throne and began a period of great turmoil in Judah. Jehoram married Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, bringing Israel's idolatrous influence into Judah, 2 Chronicles 21:6. Jehoram killed his own brothers to consolidate his power and turned away from God, leading the people into idolatry. His reign was marked by disasters, including an invasion by the Philistines and Arabs, who plundered Jerusalem and took his sons and wives, except his youngest son, Ahaziah. After Jehoram's death, his son Ahaziah reigned briefly, but also followed the wicked ways of his mother Athaliah and his grandmother Jezebel. Ahaziah was killed by Jehu, who was eradicating Ahab's house in Israel. With Ahaziah's death, Athaliah seized the throne of Judah in a coup and attempted to exterminate the entire royal lineage of the house of David. However, Joash, Ahaziah's youngest son, was rescued and hidden in the temple by his aunt Jehosheba and the high priest Jehoiada. Joash was hidden in the temple for 6 years while Athaliah ruled Judah. In his 7th year, Jehoiada organized a revolt against Athaliah. Joash was proclaimed king in a public ceremony at the temple, and Athaliah was captured and executed. With Joash on the throne, Jehoiada served as his advisor and mentor, initiating a period of religious reform. Joash ordered the repair of the temple, which had been neglected during Athaliah's reign, and reinstated the worship of Yahweh. As long as Jehoiada lived, Joash followed the ways of the Lord. However, after Jehoiada's death, Joash was influenced by other leaders and began to stray from God. He abandoned the religious reforms and reverted to idolatry, leading Judah into a period of spiritual decline. The prophet Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, confronted Joash and the people about their infidelity, but was stoned to death by order of the king. Divine punishment was swift. The Syrians invaded Judah and caused great destruction, leaving Joash severely wounded, 2 Chronicles 24:23, 24. He was assassinated by his own servants, ending his reign tragically. Joash's legacy is a reminder of the importance of godly leaders and the danger of corrupt influence. His reign shows how faithfulness to God can bring blessings and prosperity, while apostasy and injustice lead to destruction. Hezekiah, one of Judah's greatest kings, ascended the throne after his father Ahaz's disastrous reign. Hezekiah stood out for his devotion to God and his significant spiritual and political reforms. He reigned for 29 years and is remembered for his faithfulness and efforts to restore the worship of the Lord in Judah. Hezekiah began his reign by destroying high places, breaking down pillars, and cutting down Asherah poles, including the bronze serpent that Moses had made, which the people had started to worship. Hezekiah reopened the temple, which Ahaz had closed, and restored worship to Yahweh. He called all Israel and Judah to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, something that had not been done since Solomon's time. The Passover celebration was a great success, with many Israelites participating and removing idolatrous altars from their cities. This spiritual revival strengthened the people's faith and consolidated worship to God in Judah. Hezekiah also faced significant external threats, primarily from the Assyrian Empire. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, invaded Judah and besieged Jerusalem, 2 Kings 18:13. Hezekiah sought God's help and received encouraging words from the prophet Isaiah. In response to Hezekiah's prayer, God sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army, saving Jerusalem from capture. This miracle demonstrated God's power and faithfulness in protecting his people. However, Hezekiah also made mistakes. He showed Judah's treasures to Babylonian envoys, leading Isaiah to prophesy that one day Babylon would carry everything away, including his descendants, into captivity. Despite this lapse, Hezekiah is primarily remembered for his zeal for God and his religious reforms. His devotion and godly leadership brought a period of peace and prosperity to Judah. Hezekiah also faced a severe illness during his reign. He prayed fervently to God, and his life was extended by 15 years. During this time, Hezekiah continued his reforms and strengthened Judah, preparing the nation for future challenges. His trust in God and willingness to seek divine help in times of crisis are powerful examples of faithful leadership. Hezekiah's reforms and his faithfulness to God highlight the importance of true worship and commitment to divine precepts. His reign showed that even in the face of great challenges and external threats, trust in God can bring victory and blessings. Hezekiah is remembered as one of Judah's most righteous kings, whose actions were pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. After the death of Hezekiah, his son Manasseh assumed the throne of Judah. Manasseh reigned for 55 years, one of the longest reigns in Judah's history, but also one of the most infamous due to his extreme idolatry and wickedness. He reversed all his father's reforms, reintroducing and promoting the worship of pagan gods. Manasseh built altars for Baal, made Asherah poles, and even sacrificed his own children in fire, an abominable practice in the eyes of God. Manasseh's negative influence was profound and widespread. He not only encouraged idolatry among the people, but also placed pagan altars inside the very temple of Jerusalem, 2 Kings 21:7. The Bible reports that Manasseh shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Prophets of the Lord warned Manasseh about his actions, but he ignored these warnings, leading Judah down a path of deep apostasy and sin. Because of Manasseh's sins, God declared that he would bring such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. The kingdom was invaded by the Assyrians, and Manasseh was captured, taken with hooks and shackles to Babylon. However, during his captivity, Manasseh deeply humbled himself before God, prayed, and sought divine forgiveness. God heard his plea and allowed him to return to Jerusalem, where he tried to undo some of the evil he had caused, removing the pagan altars and restoring worship to the Lord. Despite Manasseh's late repentance, the damage was already done. His leadership had led Judah into a state of deep spiritual corruption, and the consequences of his actions continued to affect the kingdom even after his death. Manasseh was succeeded by his son Amon, who continued his father's idolatrous practices and reigned for only 2 years before being assassinated by his own servants. After Amon's brief and tragic reign, his son Josiah ascended to the throne of Judah. Josiah was a remarkable king for his devotion to God and his extensive religious reforms, similar to those of his great-grandfather Hezekiah. Josiah began to seek the Lord in his youth, and at 20 years old, he initiated a great campaign to purify Judah and Jerusalem of idolatry. He tore down pagan altars, destroyed idols, and restored the Temple of Jerusalem. During the restoration of the temple, the high priest Hilkiah found the Book of the Law, which had been lost or ignored for many years. When the book was read to Josiah, he tore his clothes in a sign of mourning and repentance, recognizing how far Judah had strayed from God's commandments. Josiah consulted the prophetess Huldah, who confirmed that God's judgment was imminent, but because of Josiah's contrite heart, the disaster would not occur during his reign. Josiah then renewed the covenant with the Lord, summoning all the people to Jerusalem to hear the reading of the Book of the Law and to recommit to following God's precepts. He celebrated the Passover with great fervor, a celebration that, according to the biblical account, had not been observed in this manner since the days of the judges. Josiah continued his reforms, eliminating idolatrous practices and restoring the proper worship of the Lord. Despite Josiah's efforts, Judah's fate was sealed due to the accumulated sins of his predecessors. After Josiah's death in a battle against Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, his sons did not follow his pious example. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah ruled successively, each failing to follow God's ways and leading Judah further into ruin. During Zedekiah's reign, Judah rebelled against Babylon, resulting in the final destruction of Jerusalem. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon besieged Jerusalem, destroying the city and the temple and taking most of the population into captivity to Babylon. This event marked the end of the kingdom of Judah and the fulfillment of the prophetic warnings about divine judgment due to disobedience and idolatry. The fall of Jerusalem was a turning point in Israel's history. The Babylonian exile forced the people to reflect on their identity and faith. Prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel played crucial roles during this period, urging the people to repentance and promising future restoration. Despite the destruction and exile, God's promise to restore Israel remained alive, culminating in the return of the exiles and the rebuilding of Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah.